Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday afternoon. Final hour for us, brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at ReliableAir.com. We'll get back into the big story of the day in just a couple of minutes. Braves offense scored a bunch of runs again last night. That was pretty fun. Brandon Adams is going to join us in 20 minutes to talk some Georgia football, SEC football, college football in general. And then we'll get to an AMA to wrap things
all
up
right,
as well.
Because we were going to, you asked me this before the NFL order. Somebody just tweeted whatever to me. I don't know why Cam Newton said what he said about Jalen. All I know is that he didn't rank him in his top five, just like he did last year. But Cam was talking about the play Baker or play guy or whatever you got, and try to downgrade Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts wins. And all the people who's ranked in front of Jalen Hurts on any list that people put out of quarterbacks want to be Jalen Hurts, because you know what Jalen Hurts is? The defending Super Bowl champion.
Super Bowl champ.
All right? He was not carried. It's not his fault that he has Saquon Barkley and he has A.J. Brown and Smith and all, a great offensive line. What do you want? I mean, he's supposed to complain?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't understand. I don't.
When great players are downgraded because they're surrounded by other great players.
I never understood that.
Especially in football.
I never understood that. I never understood. Now, Cam is in a different
boat. Teams ever won a champion. No players ever won a championship in the NFL without great players around.
It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. And so, but I mean, Cam, you know, he has his opinion. And I respect a lot of what he can, because this dude drug that Auburn team who had, what, one pro guy and fairly to a damn national championship. And then, obviously, we know what he did with Carolina. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on it. I don't really care. But I just – it kills me, because they'll do it every week and then reword it. All right, well, this dude is the defending, reigning Super Bowl MVP. You think he give a damn about the ranking? And he's one of the highest paid at his position.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and he got – and he was in grease with Michael Jordan.
Right.
And he got a fire-ass ring.
Yeah.
And a
nice-looking lady.
And a beautiful woman on his arm.
Yeah, man. And, by the way, got paid a whole bunch of money and a nice contract a couple off-seasons ago.
Yeah, so. He winning.
Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah, he winning.
He's winning. I know that, and that is always – like, I understand that fans of players get upset when people
talk bad
about their favorite player.
The upset part – always makes me laugh.
Yes.
It always makes me laugh.
It
always makes me laugh. I'm like, really? You think Jalen Hurts needs you to defend him?
He doesn't.
No. You think that he's
But not, it's all, you know, but, it's, but, a, it's a line but, between, like, what's the, you know, it's not that different to me to, like, defend Jalen Hurts against some nonsense list and, you know, spend a bunch of money on a Jalen Hurts jersey
but I know
or something
this, though.
Like that. It's kind of all part of it.
But I know this. There will be a Timmy Tube sock at the press conference today because and Jalen is going to answer it with just class that he is.
He is. Yeah, he's
class that he is.
I say this repeatedly about him, and I mean this as a player, but more just in terms of his professionalism and his mentality. He's the type of dude you'd like your son to grow up and be like.
Yes.
Like
he's amazing.
He carries himself in the right
he's
way.
He's amazing. But that's,
now, I do disagree. I hate that. I don't think media members should be asking athletes about stuff other media members say. That's something I have a strong opinion on.
You both talked about that.
If a fan wants to go on Twitter and spend his time being mad that Cam Newton doesn't think Jalen Hurts is that good, fine. I would say this, though.
All right.
You just got to be you got to be real careful about how you spend your time.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's the only thing in life you can't get back.
Yep.
Now, again, if that's your priority and debating somebody that you don't know about your favorite player, where they belong in a list is how you want to spend your afternoon, then you go do that.
Oh.
You do that. Now, I don't think you should do that. I'd go outside and get some fresh air.
Get some fresh air, man.
Get some exercise.
Get some fresh air. It's free. Real quick, veteran edge rusher Lorenzo Carter has informed the Titans he plans to retire.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, my boy.
Rather just go home.
Yeah, man.
We're good.
Hey, you know, sometimes it'd be like, you saw Mike Williams like, hey, man.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people were saying it's because the first day of Jim Harbaugh's camp and everything like that. I doubt that's what it was. I think Mike just like.
For Lorenzo Carter, it was Will Levis?
Probably. Broke his heart.
Yeah.
But I think for Mike Will, it's more or less, dude, I just can't get right.
He's
been hurt for years. Yep. And it just seemed like every time he finally maybe has something, it goes out of him. I don't think it was because the first day at Jim Harbaugh's camp.
No, I think he's been through some tough training camps before. Yeah, I think he just, you know.
As much as we want to talk about Jim, and Jim wants to build a bully and practice, because I saw former Michigan players putting up their Michigan like training camp itinerary, it ain't nothing like that in the NFL. You know why? Mm-hmm. Rules say they can't.
You're not allowed to.
Okay. So, as much as we want to talk about Jim Harbaugh's camp,
yeah.
It ain't like that.
He still has to adhere to the NFL rules.
Because there's rules.
Yes. Which say you just can't do
that. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, I just think Mike Williams probably spent the offseason trying to get right, and then first day of training camp,
just like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, how would you know until you got there? You know what I mean? Like, that's the first time you really get a chance to test yourself. So, now I understand it. Great career by him. Lorenzo Carter, it was nice to have him here for a couple of years.
Yeah, man, get to talk to him.
Yeah, it was really cool to get to know him a little bit and have him here for a couple of years. Obviously, wish the team would have been a little bit better, but yeah, shout out to him. Congratulations on a nice career.
Yeah,
Let's get to the big story of the day. Kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Ground ball, get through there. It will. And Baldwin drives in another run. Ronald's coming home. Safe. What base running from Acuna.
Even Drake Baldwin looks stunned out there, standing at second base. This is doing your homework and picking up on a defense being lazy. This should never happen. And Ronald doing special things with his legs. An amazing base running play from Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, he's fast. He scores from first base on a dribbler up the middle, in part because the Giants center fielder was lollygagging out
there. Something.
But also in part because he's fast as hell and he played it just right. Drake Baldwin had 6 RBIs last night. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, no, it was
quite a few.
He was really good, man. He got it started. Now we obviously know what happened in that first inning. Like, the Giants had to get that boy out of there because he was high titan. Everybody. And I don't think it was on purpose. I think he was like, I just can't control this
thing. He threw 25 pitches, Randy.
Yep.
How many of them were strikes?
2.
6.
That's what I'm saying.
That's like, crazy.
How many of them were swing strikes?
I don't know.
No, I mean, but meaning about that is like, yeah, he just could not find his control.
That's a crazy ratio.
Yeah, man. But luckily they got him out because, I mean, he went high and tight up on Murph and it was like, okay. What did Lou say? All right, you can go get him now.
I think you can go get him now.
Yeah, let's go get him. I know, hey, it don't matter if he ain't warmed up enough out there in the bullpen. We got to get this dude out of here.
This guy's going to hurt somebody.
This dude going to hurt somebody, or he's going to hurt us worse.
Yeah, we gave up 5 runs in the first inning. We being the Giants in this story that we're playing out. But yeah, he was a disaster. Birdsong got out of there. 0 innings pitched, 5 earned runs, 1 hit.
0.
I don't know that I've ever seen a box score like that, a stat line like that. 25 pitches, 6 strikes, 5 earned runs, 1 hit, 4 walks, total disaster, and good. The Braves' offense was able to take advantage of it. They scored 9 runs. They kept adding on as the game went on, and this is now twice in the first 4 games post-All-Star break that they've scored 9 runs. Nice. If you're going to be bad, and they lost one of those games, by the way. They lost 12-9 to the Yankees, which is insane.
Yes.
But if you're going to be bad, at least score a bunch of runs and make it fun to watch.
That's what we need now. Make it fun. Continue to play like Ozzy's playing and Michael and these guys like that. Then we know that Austin Riley, he did some infield work yesterday, so it's like he's back sooner than later.
Yeah, hopefully get him back this weekend or something.
And then the great thing, and I know Bo texted this, was, and you hit it early in the show, just let Nacho move on. He's up.
Yeah.
He's playing all right.
Let him play shortstop.
Yeah, he's playing all right. I mean, I thought, isn't that your top shortstop prospect?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
Yes,
I don't know.
Both. Is he?
I mean, Nick Allen's. Okay.
He is that guy, only they don't know if he has a skill set to play shortstop at the big league level.
You know how we find out?
Let him play.
Let him play shortstop.
Let him play a couple months of shortstop at the big league level.
Yes.
In a time where, I mean, the stakes are pretty low.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, he's trying to earn the job, so the stakes are high for him. But
if he can't play short, where are you going to play?
Second? For somebody else?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe if he plays well, that gives you an option on Ozzie, if you want. Because they do have a team option on Ozzie next year.
They do.
Obviously, an unpopular conversation, much as we all like Ozzie Albies. But,
definitely.
I mean.
But it's a conversation we had.
No offense to any of these guys, though. I like them, but really only if they're playing well, you know? I like them. I like them as people, and I want them to do well as people. But, like, the amount that I like them is impacted by how they're playing.
Sam, I know. I got to get out of that.
Yeah. You're probably better for not being like that.
Yeah,
but
I got to get out of that.
You know,
but I want them to play better.
They have to.
I want to play.
You could be the nicest person in the world.
Exactly.
You can't hit.
You can't
Sorry.
Hit. Sorry.
Like,
I'm not gonna trash you.
No, I'm not going to trash you either, but you can't be on the team, you know? Just for being friendly.
Yeah.
you know?
I mean, some people actually think that helps in the world. But he's a nice guy.
And that's great. But nobody ever talks about
class personified.
Nobody ever says, you know, as great of a baseball player as he is, he's a better man about a bad baseball player.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I'm saying. Oh, he's such a good man.
Nobody, but, and again, like, I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's honest, whatever. But, like, of course you want all of these guys to be good people, productive members of society.
Right.
But ultimately, I just want him to bat 315.
And that's it.
Like, that's what I want. I don't want him to be out there committing crimes.
No.
But really, I just want him to be good baseball or football or whatever teams we're talking about. Like, we celebrate people's humanitarianism when they're good baseball players. You know what I mean?
I got you. But still, that's, I mean, it's an option. And he's getting the experience.
Yeah.
And look at me. Who is the head coach for the Stanford Cardinals?
Frank Wright.
Okay, I think you would get it.
Oh, because he's on TV.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot Frank Wright.
Frank Wright, interim.
Interim head coach.
Technically interim head coach for the Stanford Cardinals.
Yes, yeah. Because Andrew Luck fired the other coach.
He did. Well, yeah. the other coach kind of fired himself.
Yeah.
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 Speaking of stuff you can't do when you're not winning a lot of football games.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They care a lot about your personality. Or your whatever, your indiscretion.
Indiscretion, that's more like
They've won 3 games each of the last 4 years.
Damn.
Stanford has. Yeah, they fell off really hard.
So Andrew Luck is the GM.
Yeah, right.
Is the coach going to have to answer him?
Yeah.
Wow. Where we have come now.
Mm-hmm. But like.
Because usually it's the AD and the board or whatever hires the football head coach,
mm-hmm.
right? But if the GM's hired the head coach, then. Where does that lead the AD at?
Well, I mean, I don't think every athletic department's going to be run the same way.
I agree.
But I think,
right.
You know what I mean? Also, if there's going to be anybody in charge of my football program, seems like a pretty good guy to do it.
He's very smart.
He's smart.
Very smart.
Had success playing both in the NFL and in college. And the AD hasn't been doing a great job lately anyway.
And he fired. I think he's fired too.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, even with Shaw, like the last handful of years with Shaw weren't any good either.
It was brutal.
Yeah, it got real bad real fast at Stanford. All right, we'll come back. Brandon Adams is going to join us. We'll talk some Georgia football with him. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Tuesday afternoon, 1:20. That means Brandon Adams joins the show. Host of the Dog Nation Daily podcast. Follow him on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily as well. 20 minutes away from the AMA. Let's get your questions ready. We'll get the phone lines open. BA, how are you?
I am doing great. Hope you guys are enjoying a fun summer here and just getting ready for football season, which will be here before you know
it. Yeah, we were just talking about this during the break because it's kind of there's kind of two schools of thought or two ways of looking at it right now. We always talk about SEC Media Days as, all right, football's right around the corner, which is true for Falcons training camp. That'll start on Thursday. For someone who covers almost exclusively Georgia football and college football specifically, SEC Media Days happen, and then they go back away. And then we don't see them until the games start. Like, for your purposes, what is this little gap of time like?
Well, it's sort of an acceleration of the conversation, because if you're like me, you're sort of a college football obsessive. I speak every day to college football obsessives. We live in this world all the time. What Media Days creates is this situation where those who don't live and immerse themselves in college football 52 weeks of the year, well, now they've got opinions too. And that kind of changes, I think, the vibe around the SEC a bit, because all of a sudden you see a greater level of hype for this player, this team, or whatever else. And so the nature of the conversations change. We have kind of gone back into a little bit of an off-season cadence again post-Media Days, but the conversation feels different because now – a lot more pockets of what I sort of think of as like mainstream media, a lot more of them have sort of started to weigh in. And this sort of feels like the apex of talking season when people who don't talk college football 365 days a year, now they're talking about it too.
What about the fact that BA, they're right where they are and don't know a lot about this team? We really don't. Even us, you know, we love these dogs, but don't know a lot about them because there's not a lot of guys that we know of. Do you think they're ranked as high as they are because of Kirby?
I do, and I think that's an appropriate reason to do that. I mean, there is track record at play here, and the math nerds are better at this than I am, but they'll tell you that even though you cycle off your complete roster, at least theoretically, every 4 years, you know, 5-year track record in college football is still pretty meaningful, and in some statistical models, even more meaningful than the NFL, even though theoretically it should be more of the same players. that what you've done previously is a pretty good prediction of what you'll do in the future. Now, that doesn't mean that just because Georgia won championships in 2021 and 2022, they're not going to do that in 2025. But if you rank them anywhere below your top five to begin the season, you run the risk of making a huge mistake. It's one of the reasons why, like, the gambling odds and things like that are never in line with the most outrageous kind of hot takes, is because the gambling odds know that, hey, what we've seen recently is a pretty good track record of what we might see this year. So the more outlandish predictions are always going to come from those that don't really have skin in the game.
We'll get to some of the talking season talking in a few minutes, because there were some comments over the last couple of days that were kind of interesting. I wanted to ask Kirby this when we had him on last week, and I didn't get a chance to. So I want to get your perspective on it, because you listen to him talk and listen to these coaches talk all the time. Do you think that the hardest part of his job today is the same thing that he would have said is the hardest part of his job 5 years ago?
No, I don't think anywhere close, because 5 years ago, the roster retention part of all this didn't exist back then. I mean, I think you still had some risk. Well, so-and-so might get mad and get homesick. And that was always the thing. It was like homesick, right? You might get homesick. You know, now it's just flat out.
Now it's money sick.
Yeah, now it's just flat out transfer portal or holding out for more money. So I think Kirby, like every coach, will tell you, hey, knowing from month to month, and there's even a rumor in the SEC right now about so-and-so player, you know, might be mad at his team. And, I mean, even now, even now we've got, you know, some of that, you know, perhaps, you know, still going on. So roster retention is still – it's the biggest part of this. It's bigger than NIL, and that didn't exist 5 years ago. So that's clearly the new toughest part about being a college job and why they earn as much money as they make.
Yeah, man. It's always fun, because we've been talking all day about college football, and we were talking about the ACC. I was listening a little bit at their media day. They were talking about SMU, BA. It's like they are going to be the ones that save the ACC because of their wheelhouse now as far as paying players. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I definitely think – look – ultimately, the ACC actually has something going for it that I would say the Big 12 can't say, is that I don't know how much, and I say this as a very pro-SEC guy, I don't know how much the ACC, quote-unquote, needs saving as long as they've got a small handful of teams that are legitimate national championship contenders. You know, Clemson, y'all, they're really deep right now. They're going to be very good
this
year.
They might be preseason number one.
They're going to be certainly in the top five, at least, I would say. You know, Miami at least has some theoretical chance here, despite the fact that, you know, kids weren't even really alive the last time. You know, if you're an 18-year-old, you weren't even alive the last time Miami was really good. But at least theoretically, they could be. Compare that to the Big 12, where that's the sort of geographic region that SMU would be closer to. There's no real legitimate national championship contender in the Big 12. It is a deeper league top to bottom. The worst teams in the Big 12 are far better than the worst teams in the ACC, but there is no legitimate championship contender. So if we're looking at the next two leagues beyond the SEC and the Big 10, honestly, as long as the ACC can hold on to Clemson, Miami, Florida State, for as long as they're able to do that, I think they have a reason for existing that I don't know the Big 12 can necessarily equal.
Yeah, no, I agree. Brandon Adams joins us, talking Georgia football, college football in general here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Carson Beck spoke today at ACC Media Days. Obviously, Georgia fans are going to have an opinion one way or the other about his tenure at Georgia and now this year at Miami. How are you going to sort of watch that? You know, obviously it's not going to be your main focus, but how are you going to pay attention to him there? And what's going to be the, I don't know, general attitude towards his season?
So I would say, as sports fans, whether it's pro sports, college sports, whatever, we speak in the language of comparisons. Sports fans are all like draft comps, whatever else. His understanding of history, this guy is like that guy. Comparisons are the biggest part of sports talk, kind of always have been. So comparing Gunner to Carson, it is inevitable. It's just sort of going to happen. Or the team success that Miami has compared to whatever Georgia's having, there'll be some of that that goes on too. However, as someone who sort of does this for a living, you got to be really, really careful, because Georgia fans, maybe all fans are like this, Georgia fans definitely are, they are very present tense aware. In other words, they don't want to hear a bunch about what did happen, what was. Yeah. It's got to be what's happening now. And so, if Georgia loses a commit or if a recruit chooses somewhere else, 5 seconds later, the refrain is,
"We don't want no way."
Yeah, why are we still talking about this guy? We didn't want him anyway. There's a lot of why are we still talking about this guy that sometimes creeps into it.
It happened yesterday. What are you talking about?
This just happened, folks. But the point is like we won't be able to avoid some of the Beck-Gunner comparisons, but it would not be a good idea to drag it out more than you need to. Because there's a pretty strong fan revolt that comes when it comes to stuff like that.
This is just like Texas is outbeating. Because Georgia has plenty of money, but they don't got Texas money? Or is it just like Kirby's like,
if you ask Steve Sarkisian, that's not the truth. Because, right. You know, he got up there and said what he said last week at Media Day.
I hope they don't come for the money.
Which is the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever heard. I mean, look, with the most recent Texas commit, and I know your whole audience doesn't follow recruiting, so I'll keep this sort of, you know, broad. But the most recent Texas commit, Derek Cooper on Sunday, y'all – he didn't take an official visit to Texas. Throughout the entirety of his recruitment, I think he only went to Austin one time. So the idea that that recruitment is not specifically about money, it strains the imagination given the fact that he didn't go there frequently enough to have much in the way of relationships. And listen, if Texas got the money and they're buying all these players and they're flaunting the terms of the House settlement, they ought to brag about it. I mean, it's good to have money. If I had money, I'd be throwing it around all over the place. I'd make sure everybody knew.
Yeah,
if I was
rich, there'd be signs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you'd know. apparently, Texas doesn't quite want to do it that way, but the circumstantial evidence obviously suggests that they are, for the most part, buying these players.
Maybe he went on like a virtual tour.
Maybe
you know?
So.
Like sometimes on the websites they offer those virtual tours.
Yeah, maybe he's nostalgic for COVID and he just wants to go back and sort of do all this via the magic of Zoom.
Maybe. Speaking of people that don't normally talk about college football, and when they do, we don't always care about it. Colin Cowherd was talking about how the SEC is not going to be able to compete with the Big Ten because of like market size and different like money hubs in the country. What did you take out of that commentary?
So
anything.
Ultimately, there is at least one kernel of truth in this, that the biggest divide that exists in the SEC versus Big Ten war is about urban versus rural. Okay. Not every Big Ten team is in a major city, but they're kind of close to them a little bit, and a lot of their graduates live in big cities. The SEC is a rural league, and it just is. And so I would say the Big Ten has leaned on that advantage somewhat, and it's one of the reasons why maybe ESPN doesn't talk as much college football as they should, because they're sort of a big city network serving big city sports fans, at least in their mind. That's true. So this is always going to be the challenge for college football and college athletics in general. There is a very intense strain of kind of rural – is it rurality, is that the word? Sort of a rural nature to the fan base. So there is a degree to which that's true. But the best players in America still reside in the South, and that's always going to be the kind of, I guess, counterpoint to that for the Big Ten is they got to come down here to get their players. The SEC doesn't have to go up to the frigid north to get its players, and that's always going to be a huge advantage for the
More
SEC.
More likely to not finish the year as a head coach, Napier or Sam Pittman?
Well, I think Sam Pittman would be happy to retire. I think he'd go live on the lake tomorrow if he could. I'm not sure he even still wants this job. But I definitely think that Napier, who's getting a lot of love right now, he's in a dangerous, precarious position because we forget stuff so fast. In November, which technically speaking is not that long ago, certainly less than a year ago, everybody's like, he's got to get fired, and if he stays, he better make these major offensive changes. All of that just kind of went away because they won four games to conclude the season, and now they're like being treated as a fringe playoff contender. To me, of all of the sort of offseason hype, the love for Florida, obviously Georgia fans, so perhaps this is biased, but the love for Florida seems the weirdest to me, because they just seem really on the sort of precarious perch of a very, very significant collapse if they're not careful. They still play a really tough schedule.
I don't even think – I mean, November, yeah, but it was earlier in the year than that last year. I mean, they lost to Miami in the first game, right?
They got smoked. They got destroyed.
Yeah, they got smoked.
Yeah.
And then they lost to Texas A&M, and they were 1-2.
Yeah.
Like, there were odds that he wasn't going to make it out of September last year. And then they won a couple, right? And then they lost to Tennessee and obviously Georgia. And then they went on that run late. But again, the run late was only a couple games. Like, I don't know. I'm with you. Like,
Lagway's the real deal at quarterback. Yeah. But against that schedule, it may not be enough to save a coach that, as you say, last fall was pretty embarrassing.
It's just such a great example of how quarterback hype leads to so much in this sport.
Yes,
it's a big part of why Georgia is just not a headline team right now, because nobody knows much about Gunnar Stockton. Big part of why Texas is being talked about everywhere because Manning.
That's right.
And why Florida is getting the credit they're getting because of DJ Lagway.
I think that's exactly right.
Brandon, thank you.
Appreciate you, B.
All right.
With you.
We will come back and get to an AMA. Any question? Any topic. The phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. Load them up. Ask us anything. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Brought to you by Right From The Heart, rightfromtheheart.org. The AMA to wrap the show up every single day. Final hour of the show brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Book an appointment for a convenient time at reliableair.com. Some phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. You can ask us any question you want. We'll do our best to answer it as we do every single day at 1:40 to wrap up the show. We'll start with Mac, who's in Lilburn. Hey, Mac.
Randy.
Hey, what up, Mike?
Hey, Mac, man. I'm your delivery guy from the other day. I appreciate the shout yesterday, man.
No problem, brother.
Hey, you got me almost as a radio celebrity with my kids because everybody heard it. I had them listen to you after the fact. That was pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Awesome.
So I really just have a real kind of weird question. Do y'all still have the lazy dog promo? Because I'm thinking about eating there today, and I got a different promo, but I'm trying to figure out which one is the best. So if y'all get a lazy dog promo still in effect, let me know.
Okay.
Because I got one that I could use otherwise. So that's really it. I just want to thank you,
man. All right, Mac. Mac's coming to the midday show for a little discount shopping. We appreciate that. Our promo code is The Game, THEGAME, and that'll get you 10% off your delivery order.
Nice.
So I hope the other one's not more than that. You got to think about what we might mean to you, though. You know what I mean? 10% off and entertainment value.
Yeah.
What's the other promo code from? Probably not some great radio show.
I
don't know where he got it.
I don't know where he got that.
Could be from anything.
Yeah. But, you know, Mac's a good dude. So he's good, right? With everything he has gave him. Because I don't want Mac knocking on my door. Mac know where I live at, man.
Oh, yeah, no. The promo code's going to work.
Okay, Mac come over there.
I just don't know if he has
it ain't working.
If he has a 20% discount from another place.
Yeah. Go use that.
No, don't. Use ours.
Oh. Well, I know. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm like 20%, 10%.
You're trying to cost me money over here? What are you doing?
20%,
10%. The Game. THEGAME. The Game. At LazyDogRestaurants.com. Kyle is in Snowville.
That threw me off right now. I was like, hold on.
I know math's not mathing.
Yeah.
My birthday was yesterday, too, like Randy's aunt or whatever. But
happy late birthday, Kyle.
Appreciate it. But the thing I have for you is, what either idiom and or piece of advice have you heard and then now are quick to give out to other people?
I hear a lot of pieces of advice and idioms or phrases, whatever. Coach speak sometimes.
Coach
love them. I love that kind of stuff. I feel like there's so many things that coaches say that apply to parenting.
Yes.
We talked about
recruiting
and NIL and all that stuff. It's like, well, that's just parenting. That's all that is right there.
Yes.
There's a lot of stuff like that. I heard something today, though, this morning. I was listening to an interview that my wife sent me that I thought was really cool, a cool thought. And the third one is up to you to decide what you want it to be. But there's three doors that your children walk through that will help define the people that they become.
Okay.
Right? Front door of your house,
mm-hmm.
right? That's home, coming home or leaving, whatever. That's door one. Door of the school they go to, and then the door of the, whether it's church or whatever, the sort of the third thing that your family spends a lot of time doing.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, I get behind that. Home, school,
church.
Yeah.
Sounds like a well-rounded day.
Those are the three most important doors that your child will walk through. I was like, yeah, hell yeah.
That's nice.
I like that.
That's all right right there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that stood out to me. I heard that this morning.
So the third door could be anything else, right?
Well, I mean, not everybody goes to church.
Right.
So I'm not trying to sit here and say, you know, not trying to be an evangelist or something like that. But
I know what you mean.
But we do, and I think that it's a great place.
It's
I think
awesome.
Our church is a wonderful place.
I think it's awesome.
But yeah, that third door could be a lot of different stuff. But yeah, those are three.
I like it, though. Mine, don't get your ass slapped in the mouth.
That's a good idiot, too.
Yep.
It's a good idiot.
It's one of the The frequently used ones.
That's just good sound advice right there.
Yeah,
I think
man.
That's the one you hear at your home.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The one you walk through that door.
Exactly. Because that's.
I think they used to be able to say that at church and school, but not anymore.
Because what determines what goes on in that house ultimately affects the other two doors.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Could they hit in school?
I got paddled at Peach County.
Did you really?
Yeah. Cause
in high school?
Yeah, because I didn't want a week's worth of in-school detention.
So you just took the corporal punishment?
Took them three smacks, smack. Went about my business.
Did they have that at yours, Bo?
I didn't get paddled in high school. I did in elementary school and middle school. In high school, I just had to swallow a mouthful of Kodiak.
Oh, yeah. I remember
all
that,
right.
Yeah.
But was that whose dad was it?
That was Albert Bell's dad.
Albert Bell's dad.
Was my gym teacher, Coach Colbell. Used to put us on the wall and call us wallflowers because we just nothing up to no good. Just get on the wall like some wallflowers.
That's great. Skip's in the Yammobile. Hey, Skip.
What's going on, fellas?
All right, let me tell you something, Skip. Skip, what the hell you was doing at 4 o'clock this morning, man?
Hey, man, I'm working at 4 o'clock in the morning, man. You know, the yam started at 3 in the morning,
baby. Don't be sending me those damn reels at 5:15, Skip. All right? Okay?
The yams.
I'm like, what the hell are you doing up, Skip, sending me reels at 5:15?
The yams are up early today, Skip. Is that what you're saying? The yams don't sleep.
That's right. Hey, 24 yams, baby. But right quick, man, on that paddling situation, y'all got paddled. I went to school and got reminder whoopings. I just walked in school and I go straight to the office and get a whooping.
Just get it out the way.
Yeah, I ain't did that. But my Braves question, man. If you can have one player from the past that you can pick to see can they change the Braves around, who would it be? And if it's one player out there, forget the money situation. If it's one player you would like to bring from the trade deadline that you think they can chain the Braves around. I'll talk to y'all later.
All right, Skip. Shohei?
Yeah, we'll grab him.
Yeah, we'll grab him.
And then from the past, give me Maddox.
Yes. Did you see that today's anniversary?
What?
Of the 78-pitch complete game?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
God, that's crazy.
Yeah. 78 damn pitches. Now, he ain't one of my favorite people in the world, but that dude, he can pitch.
The baseball player... Sure.
No, I include that in all.
It's all encompassing?
Yeah, that's all encompassing.
Because he pees on people?
No. I ain't more mad to him than ain't nobody punch him in his face. I just don't get – how do you key with a mother lover that peed on you?
I don't know.
Like, I be mad at my damn child. I'd be mad at my damn child when they pee on me.
The only people that have peed on me in the last handful of years.
Be mad as hell my child pee on me.
My children.
Let another grown man.
Some people are into that.
Oh, Maddox gone.
Maybe they did punch him. I don't know.
Man, please. You know, you notice when they tell them stories, who he peed on, right?
Who?
The right one to pee on.
How do you know if somebody's the right one to pee on?
Because he ain't got a black eye. You know who?
No, but that's before though.
He knows who he can pee on.
But that's profiling, right? Like afterwards. I know, but how do you profile the right person to pee on? What's the profile of a peer?
Who you want to pee on?
Yeah.
Somebody who you know ain't going to do nothing.
But how would you know?
Because you know
the profile.
You got to know somebody. You know.
You
got to
just give me some characteristics of somebody who you could pee on and wouldn't do anything
about. What team was that on?
This is Atlanta Braves.
I know. I'm saying, what year was on it in?
95.
Who's on that team?
Chipper Jones. Yeah, I think he was the one that got peed on.
Uh-huh.
See, to me, Chipper doesn't seem like somebody who would profile
that way. I don't know
that. He got pissed on.
Well, so 20 years later, as he tells the story, it's funny. I'll ask him this next time I see him.
Yeah.
I bet he was pretty mad.
I would have. No,
I'm just
going to
go out there on a limb and say I bet he was not happy with the situation.
Somebody peed on you.
Yeah.
That's beyond really bad. That means you got to get swole. All right? Some got to puff up on your face. Right? I'm saying no. I must have been in the wrong locker room. I ain't never been in no locker room with another cat peeing on somebody. That's why when they be telling the stories about Shaq, I'm like, what?
Right, Shaq did it too, right?
Yeah, like he's doing all that now. I'm like, what?
So is Shaq, you're out on Shaq too?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how can you let somebody do that to you?
I don't know.
And how could you put... Mm-mm. I don't understand, and the reason I say I don't understand it, because I ain't never seen that like that before.
No, you don't have to see it to understand
it. I ain't never heard that until this.
You don't have to see it to understand it.
Yeah, on somebody.
I think that's, to me, that's sort of a universal no-no.
Yeah.
Also, if it happened to me, you would never know.
How?
Because I wouldn't tell anyone.
Would you go fight him, though?
Yeah.
Okay, but like, thank you. That's all he knows.
But if I had gotten peed on 25 years ago, I wouldn't be walking around telling it like it's a cool story. You know what I mean?
But my whole thing is like, I don't.
I may have got peed on 100 times. You would never know. But I didn't.
Yeah, man,
but you wouldn't know if I did.
I don't condone violence.
Because I wouldn't be telling the story about it.
Yeah, I don't condone violence, but I what? Don't ass whoopings.
Yeah, ass whoopings.
All right.
Sometimes they need to happen.
Yes.
Just like that thing, the idiom you said about smacked in the mouth. Eric is in Milledgeville. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Hey.
Hey, I was listening to a podcast the other day, man, with Mookie Betts on it and a couple of retired NBA basketball guys, Steven
Jackson.
Matt
Barnes.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. And they said that the two hardest things to do in professional sports is to hit a baseball and to play cornerback. And they basically were saying that, you know, Mookie Betts said, you know, you may, as a cornerback, you may get lucky and a QB throws a bad pass, but there's no such thing as luck in hitting a baseball. And I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on that whole thought process.
Okay, Eric. Thank you.
Well, I mean, I've always been told that hitting the baseball is the hardest thing to do. Mm-hmm. I've always been told that.
If you just think about it from a numbers standpoint. The people that are the best at it get a hit 30% of
yes.
the time.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a 30% success rate at really anything else in sports, you'd be out of the league.
Yes. Maybe so a three-point shooter.
That's it.
Maybe a stretch big.
Even that's pretty bad.
I know.
These days, you know?
But, I mean, corner's hard, dude. It is. I think, you know, because of how the receiving slot corner is the hardest play.
Well, and think about that,
too.
Because you
got so much room, two-way goes.
What's considered a successful play as a corner? Like, if they throw it to your guy.
Yeah.
Incomplete? Yeah. Or you tackle him immediately or whatever?
It's just I think the biggest thing, and I always talk when I go back to talking to 2-9 and Pat, was anything over 5.
Is failure.
Yeah.
That happens all the time.
Yep. Is it anything over 5?
It's just like a hitter.
Yep.
I bet the success rate for the average cornerback in the NFL is pretty low.
Yeah.
You know?
But, but then you have a corner where they don't throw it to his side.
Right.
Yeah, different
right,
things. But
right.
yeah,
but I'm just saying, like,
that's what they would tell. That's what they told me. Say anything over 5.
If they target your guy and he catches it, mm-hmm. and it goes over 5 yards,
yes.
then you failed.
That's what they, that's how they look.
That's
at
what,
it.
And they're
yeah.
great. They're
yeah,
great
they
players.
Players. Yeah.
But I bet that kind of lines up with hitting a baseball in terms of that. Like, I don't know. People always argue about that.
Yeah.
Hitting a golf ball is pretty damn hard, too. But
hitting it straight.
Hitting it straight. Yeah. yeah and making a par or a birdie. Tay is in Athens. Hey, Tay.
Hey, what's up, guys? So we knew that in college that Michael Penix was pretty injury prone. God forbid anything happens to him, but if it's so dead, would you guys trust number 18 to come back in the game? Or we have another quarterback, number 11, by the name of Emory Jones. Is a rookie from
Cincinnati. Oh, hell no. Don't even put him in the conversation. Please don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. I mean, what's his name? Mark?
That was Tay.
Come on, Tay! Why are you bringing that negative gree-gree if Michael Penix get hurt? Stop. Don't do. We're going to be in Flower Branch in 2 damn days, and Tay bringing that negative energy over here. If they're going to say Emory Jones, I would rather you say, what's the other dude?
Ethan Stick
than Emory Jones.
Yeah.
Come on, Tay. Don't, Tay. Get that out your mind, brother. Get that on out your mind. All right, Michael Penix is going to be fine, okay?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know.
Dog it.
Any NFL player can get hurt.
It's been going so well.
Michael Penix hasn't missed a game since 2021.
How many years is that?
2 full years at Washington. He was healthy, played every single game.
Okay.
Now, I think he got hit in the Oregon game. He played hurt for a couple weeks, didn't miss any time, though.
Right.
Happens.
Come on, man.
And then played the 3 games he was healthy last
year. Come on, Tay.
We need to get rid of the injury prone phrase and just take that. People are not injury prone.
Because you were injured.
People
but the thing about it is.
He got injured. He's so healthy now. That's all you need to worry about.
So many people have come back
not like
injuries in college to be great
injury.
Players.
Yeah. And again, like, he played 2 full seasons, including a playoff run to the national championship game, and played every single game.
Come on.
Every single snap of every single game. You know what I mean?
Like, come on.
All right. One more. Chris is at the mansion. Which one?
Which one?
Hey, guys. Quick question. So me and my wife just found out yesterday that we're having a little girl, our third.
All right.
And it's the last. quick question. Have y'all ever got y'all's wife any push gifts? And if so, which one would be the best one I can get her?
I appreciate it. What gift?
Push gift, like pregnancy, like a delivery.
Huh?
People get them. It's called a push gift. You get your wife right before she's going to go.
Okay. A push gift.
Yeah, push gift.
I don't believe in push gifts.
I don't think I did.
That gift for the get pushed out.
The gift was the push.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The gift was the making of it. So, no, she's
here's your gift. Here's your gift. The babies look like me.
Yeah, she's straight.
How's that gift?
Yeah.
No, I didn't. We didn't do that.
I never heard of that until he said.
I've heard of that, and then I've heard of something that people take. It's like a honeymoon, but it's like a baby moon. Like you take a trip right before delivery.
When the hell did all this stuff,
it's just new ways for people to get tricked into spending money.
Once I go up 285 past the Gator Junction, I tune out. I ain't never heard no push gift, no baby moon, nothing. No,
they're a bottle of Tito's. That's what she wants to do is go get
some. Yeah, because she's going to want a margarita as soon as it's over, or a cocktail as soon as it's over. Yeah, it's all perpetrated by the corporations, all right? Because you know what a gift costs? Money.
Yeah.
You know what a trip costs? Money. How about just be there and love them, you know?
I ain't never heard no stuff just like that.
And, you know, you don't need to.
Hey, you know what your
be there
you know
and
what
love
the problem
them.
Is? We got too many young grandmamas, all right? We got too many of these fancy names. Bring back grandmama and granddaddy, damn it.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Although all seven of the ones we have aren't named that.
bring back grandmama and granddaddy.
We got Mimi, granddaddy, Pappy, Nona, Grammy. We got all the cool names. All right, let's get to takeaways of the day.
Bring back Auntie.
What's your mom go by?
Grandma?
Grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Takeaways of the day.
The yams never sleep.
They don't.
They don't.
24/7. yeah, Randy was up late last night tossing and turning.
Andy hopes Phil Knight dies unsatisfied.
Yeah, man.
Morbid.
I do. And I hope it's a long time from now.
But he's going to be dead. So
your weekly PSA from the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Don't do a whole lot of meth and drive.
Yeah.
Don't do a whole lot
don't
of meth, period.
It rots your teeth.
Just a little.
Yeah, it just rots your teeth. That's it.
Just a taste. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 11.